Hello, and welcome to Apparitions and Alibis. Here, we explore the stories of true crime, paranormal encounters, and odd, forgotten history. I am your host, AJ Stallman. In each episode, we explore perplexing true crime, unexplained phenomenon, haunted locations, history's forgotten corners, obscure events, or even unsung heroes. Join me on these twisting journeys of the past, present, and ethereal. On today's episode, we venture to Finland to investigate the murder of Hilkka Saarinen, also known as the Oven Murder. Hilkka lived with her husband Pentti, who honestly kind of looks like a mob boss with less gold and jewels. They had a semi-inherited home from her grandparents, in which they took out loans in order to buy out other inheritors. Hilkka and Pentti had 5 children together. However, they were taken from the home and displaced into state custody, eventually going into foster homes. You can imagine the home life of these children for all 5 to be taken away. Pentti was a toxic partner and a heavy drinker who often became violent when drunk. He aimed a lot at Hilkka with his abusive tendencies, and it was said by neighbors and the children that Pentti was very jealous and violent towards his wife. They even recalled times he threatened to kill Hilkka in a way that could never be traced. December 25th, 1960, the oldest son, Seppo, was on his way to visit his parents with a friend from school in tow. The 13-year-old and his buddy arrived a day early, perhaps in attempts to surprise his parents. When they arrived at the old wooden home, they noticed the front door unlocked and slightly ajar. They also saw a woman's footprints in the snow, so maybe Mom ran out for something really quick. When they went inside, Pentti rushed out of the kitchen, shutting the door behind him and locking it. He seemed normal when he informed his son that the mother had left the home while he was asleep and he didn't know where she was. Recalling the footprints in the snow, the boys didn't worry too much. Even though things seemed okay, Daddy Dearest kept watching them wherever they were in the home, whatever they were doing. At one point, they asked for some blankets to make beds, and Pentti had them walk through the kitchen in the dark, claiming that the light was out, but he was cleaning in there, so it was really messy. They also noticed the first night there that one hand on Pentti had scraped up knuckles. This was freaky enough that the friend left earlier than planned. Seppo finished the visit with his father without any sight of his mother. Those days turned into weeks without anyone seeing her, and finally a missing persons report was filed. Both neighbors and family had not seen her since before Christmas. Police went and inspected the home, but nothing of note was found. Weeks bled into months, into years, and locals believe she was a victim of a tragic snow accident. Pentti, however, seemed unfazed by his wife's disappearance and continued to live in the home. As time passes, Seppo continues to look in and all over the wooden home. He would inspect the basement, outdoor toilet, and surrounding areas. One thing he did take note of was a missing pile of sand from near the cow barns. Starting to assume Hilkka was no longer alive, Seppo began searching under floorboards, in the attic, and even the stone foundation. 1966 hits, and Seppo sends a letter to the police.
I suspect that my father knows more about the disappearance of my mother than he has told me. He has clearly opened the oven and shut it again. However, the oven has not been used in 7 to 8 years before this. My father was cleaning in the dark, even though another room was lit when I arrived. I think the oven should be dismantled. My father could do anything.
The letter was not taken seriously or followed up on. Later, he wrote to an article, which was printed May 1967. The title? I suspect my father is a murderer. The father and son actually met eventually after the article was published. Pentti's response was,
"Let's both mind our own business."
1972, and finally movement begins on the case. What stirred up the pot? New investigators that took cold cases and turned them more priority. While going through items, a detective found the letter written by Seppo, and they immediately took action. The detective also found inconsistencies in stories, giving him more reason to suspect Pinti. They reached out to Seppo to get a complete account of events, and any and all suspicions. November 27, 1972, Hilka's name day. Police arrived at the large wooden home, led by the district commissioner, and they were there to demo an oven. Masonry ovens have a stone baking chamber and are fueled with wood or coal. They are mostly known for cooking pizza. Deconstruction of the oven went brick by brick and took quite a bit of time to complete. When the fuel box was finally reached, which is located under the oven, it was not filled with wood or coal, but instead it was filled to the brim with dirt and sand. About 3 feet in, they discovered a boot. When the officers grabbed the boot, they felt toes still inside the shoe. A little more digging, and Hilka was found. She was wearing outdoor gear, like rubber boots and wool gloves. These showed that she was possibly killed right after making the footprints the boys saw in the snow that one Christmas 12 years ago. Because of the sand, the body was very well preserved, except for minimal decomp in the head region. At the morgue, Seppo identified the mummified body of his mother, and Pinti was arrested. While in interrogation, Pinti confessed to nothing and denied all knowledge of a body being in his oven long enough to dry out. Unfortunately, the mummification wasn't enough to show cause of death, and some people believe she was bricked up while she was still alive. Pinti at first refused counsel, but was ultimately found incapable of defending himself and was assigned one anyways. The prosecution presented Pinti's history of domestic violence, including claims that he once shoved Hilka's head into a bucket of feces. I'm going to let you think on that for a second. There were also claims that he once stabbed Hilka with a fork because he thought she was eating
like a pig.
There was also circumstantial evidence of the literary proportion. Pinti had borrowed roughly 75 crime novels from the library in the 9 months before Christmas in 1960. Many of these novels were about the murders of wives. Friends, neighbors, family, and even doctors testified to the abuse Hilka suffered. Pinti attempted to claim that, quote, gypsies had visited the home before the murder, end quote. Luckily, it was rejected. However, with no cause of death or any hard evidence that he killed his wife, the court decided the death was unintentional and sentenced him to 8 years for aggravated assault. He only served 1 year of the 8 years after the Supreme Court found no evidence. They also stated too much time had passed, and Pinti was released. After returning to the home, he left everything exactly how investigators left it a year before, with debris everywhere. The oven was never fixed, and he continued to live there until he died at the age of 66 in August of 1986. The house became a spooky location until it was torn down in 2015 while Seppo stood watch. Despite his rough childhood and mother's murder, Seppo told a streaming service that he has lived a good life in a 2015 documentary. Despite the fact that Pinti definitely did it, the case remains unsolved in police files. If not for Seppo, his mother may have never been found. That concludes this episode of Apparitions and Alibis. If you have any stories, historical tidbits, or suggestions for future episodes, please reach out to us. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. I hope you found today's story captivating and thought-provoking. Until next time, keep your eyes peeled, your mind open, and your alibis airtight.